and my fellow Pennsylvanians.
This state's electoral votes are key to who wins the presidency, and both of the candidates know it.
We win Pennsylvania, we win the whole deal. You know that. Just like last time.
But states like Pennsylvania are going to be incredibly important.
The only thing left on the board is Pennsylvania. The president cannot get to the finish line without the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
One state all four candidates are visiting today is Pennsylvania. Its 20 electoral votes are highly coveted, and the Keystone State could end up being one of the determining factors in the race.
Jill's a Philly girl, but I'm a Scranton girl.
I've always been fascinated by Bucks County politics, and today we're going to unpackage the final sprint of this historic election. We're going to talk about Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick's re-election, as well as some of the hottest state house races in Pennsylvania. In a lot of ways, Bucks is three distinct counties. The demographics, the housing stock, the overall vibe of each part of the county, lower, central, and upper Bucks, is quite distinct. We're sitting down with Tom Sofield, lifelong Bucks County resident. He's the publisher of Levittown Now, which does great local reporting, and I'm excited to get his perspective on these races and what's on the mind of Bucks County voters. Tom Sofield, welcome to my kitchen table.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Art.
Well, thanks for the work you're doing. I firmly believe in the importance of local news and the importance of a free press, and you know, you're there super granular in Lower Bucks County, providing good, nonpartisan information. So look forward to really doing a deep dive into one of the most, in my opinion, most fascinating counties, fairly purple county in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, for sure. Bucks County. Well, I appreciate the nice things you said about local news, too. I agree that it's pretty important. Definitely Bucks County is one of, I think, the most watched counties in the whole country when it comes to elections. It really has staked its political reputation on being a bellwether county. And that's definitely around election season. It's not uncommon to see the New York Times or TV crews from the Netherlands or CNN or CBS all around the county talking to voters. You know, it used to be every 4 years and maybe during midterms, but now it's almost a yearly thing with kind of how focused everyone is on politics.
So increasingly we have listeners, you mentioned the Netherlands, I don't know about that, but we do have a lot of European listeners and then certainly listeners outside of the Commonwealth. So Bucks County runs along the Delaware River, along the New Jersey border, north of Philadelphia, south of my home region in the Lehigh Valley. But give folks a sense, the county's changed tremendously in the last few decades. If you can kind of paint the picture from when you were growing up there, and then also sure, you know, please share a little of your background and also your publication.
Sure. So I'm with a publisher and I guess kind of lead reporter, small news organization problems for LevittownNow.com. We cover the Levittown area, Langhorne, Bristol, you know, the big Levittown community. In Lower Bucks County, we're about an hour and a half from New York, depending on traffic, anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour from Center City, Philadelphia. You know, we have plenty of residents in Central and Lower Bucks County that work in New York City, work in Philadelphia, work in the Lehigh Valley, work in Harrisburg. I've even run into two people over the years who live in Levittown and work in D.C., although they have a little bit of a reduced schedule where they're there 3 days a week and work the rest from home. But it's a really unique county. Bucks County is about a little over 600 square miles. And it's unique in the fact that it has a lower, a central, and an upper end that are all distinctly different. Lower Bucks County is a more, to an extent, blue collar, but definitely a more politically moderate place. It's really interesting, especially in our coverage area. You'll go from areas of low to no income to million-dollar houses in just minutes. And everyone kind of gets along and lives together in harmony for the most part. And Central Bucks County has definitely become a little bit more affluent, a little more blue, too, over the years. A lot of transplants in Lower and Central Bucks County come from New Jersey, New York. They come and locals don't always agree with them, but they always say the taxes are so much cheaper here than where they were coming from. And Upper Bucks County is a more red area. It's a little bit more rural, at least rural as you can be in a close to Philadelphia suburb. But it's a really unique county because you have these three really distinct areas, and you can almost cut them when you look at a map. You can cut across just looking at roads and see the differences. The lower and central part of the county, to an extent, have kind of merged as being more suburban sprawl over the past two or three decades. I've kind of seen, as I've grown up, less farm fields or less corn fields and more housing. But lower and central Bucks have always had a pretty solid reputation over the last 50, 60 years for being kind of quintessential suburbs.
Well, I really appreciate that background. And it's not only more housing, it's and less farms, it's more traffic. And it seems like every time in recent years that I've been on 95 going in and out of the county, I'm passing a work zone. So the other thing that's always intriguing me about lower Bucks County is just the tremendous diversity in recent years. It's almost like a United Nations of folks from all over the world and different languages being spoken in the home. And a lot of these communities are increasingly politically active. So if you can speak to some of that.
Sure. Yeah. Bucks County definitely has grown more diverse over the years, you know, still largely a white kind of European heritage population, but it has grown more diverse. In the Levittown area over the past 20, 30 years, there's been an increase in Turkish Muslim and Turkish Christian population. They are politically active. They have kind of slowly, that population has grown into it, where I don't know if they play a major role yet, but you definitely are seeing them more out and about. It's grown from a community of people who were very kind of insular and stuck with people who had similar heritage to definitely going out there, owning more businesses that are kind of a general appeal. And it's been interesting to see that. And also with our reputation of being close to the cities, you know, we've definitely seen that too. More people moving out of the cities into Bucks County, especially lower in central Bucks.
My understanding also, and then we'll move on from this point, is very well organized and certainly as this awful war grinds on, passionate Ukrainian American community with a lot of Slavic languages being spoken in the home, and then also very large South Asian community throughout the county.
Yeah,
the Pakistanis and Indians who have some friction back on the subcontinent, but in Bucks County do a lot of organizing together.
Yeah, definitely. Those populations are growing with the war, you know, Russia attacking Ukraine. You've definitely seen a lot of Ukrainian support. Our police departments here were pretty early on, like immediately all their old SWAT gear, all their bulletproof vests were being shipped off by plane to Europe to be disseminated, you know, in Ukraine. So that was kind of a fascinating thing.
Well, I didn't realize that. All right. So tell folks a little about how and why you decided to launch a publication, and then we'll get to the meat of our discussion, which is your incredible coverage of the races in the county.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. So I worked for AOL and Patch when it was part of the Huffington Post network back more than about 10 years ago now. And I really saw, coming out of college, I saw how impactful local news was. The newspapers were cutting back on coverage. Things were changing. Things were more online. They were more print focused. I left Patch in February of 2013. And in March of 2013, we launched LevittownNow.com. Why I always say working for like a tech company is super cool, but they had no understanding of like how the news business worked financially at the time. So I kind of took everything I learned there in college, and thankfully almost 10 years later, we're still around and we're hopefully going to be expanding. But there's definitely people in Bucks County like local news, and there's kind of over the years been a cutback on it. So it's provided a good opportunity for us.
Just to share with listeners, you're entirely online or there's a print component?
Nope, we are entirely online.
Got it. Okay, so, you know, it seems like every 2 years, the discussion that we're about to have happens. And it was first with Congressman Mike Fitzpatrick. May his memory be for a blessing. He was in public service for many years in the county. And now his brother is the congressman. And I guess on paper, the county is incredibly purple or even blue, but it's represented largely by a Republican congressman. So if we could speak a little about the Fitzpatrick family, and then we'll get into the meat of this race.
Sure. Yeah, the Fitzpatricks really are a kind of hallmark of public service type name in Bucks County. The late Mike Fitzpatrick, he was a county commissioner. He then became the congressman. People still talk about him. Republicans and Democrats in such high regard. And there are people, definitely, I just had a conversation with someone last week, a Democrat, many political disagreements, but they always said with Mike, the thing was at the end of the day, you could talk to him and you wouldn't agree, but he'd hear you and they'd listen to his opinion and they wouldn't agree, but they thought he really cared and he was doing what he thought was best. And in the 2016 election cycle, his brother Brian, who had just left a career as an FBI special agent, who had, you know, been all over the country, served some time in the Middle East. He's an attorney, an EMT, an accountant, very educated guy, kind of came into the district a few weeks after the election already started. The other Republican candidate, Scott Petry, dropped out, and Brian became the Republican frontrunner. And he won, and since then, he's won every election he's run in.
And I know lines have changed. So is the entire county a part of this congressional district?
Sure. Bucks County, political buffs are always proud to say that Bucks County has been one congressional district since, I believe, around the time of the Civil War or right after. So it is a pretty long history of all being in one county. We also have a part of Montgomery County. Currently, it's kind of the middle to the upper part, just a sliver off County Line Road. And it will be moving down a little bit this year and changing into the Horsham area. And previously, it's had parts of Northeast Philly, but Northeast Philly hasn't been part of the district for more than a decade now.
So we're in the final hours. I think there's some campaign war rooms that are, counting the hours of this historic campaign. Give folks a sense of, walk us back pre-primary. Did Congressman Fitzpatrick have a primary? What happened with the Democrats? And then we'll get into a little about his Democratic opponent.
Sure. So Congressman Fitzpatrick did have Republican primary opponents. They were very kind of the Trump wing of the party. You know, some of them, but more of that than others. You know, some of them were a little conspiratorial in their thinking, that really kind of leaned into that. Brian's always kind of made a career of framing himself as more of a moderate. And he's been very careful. It's a very tough rope to walk. In 2020, he received a last-minute phone endorsement, a robocall that went to a small number of Republicans through the county party from President Trump at the time, saying how great Congressman Fitzpatrick was. And Congressman Fitzpatrick had stayed quiet for a while. And in December, we received from a Republican source a copy of the audio. And to be honest, it was pretty impressive that it stayed quiet for that long. But it definitely angered him. His office hasn't responded to a single media inquiry from our news organization or anyone who works here since December of 2020. So I think that kind of shows the fine line and to an extent the worry his campaign has that he will be closely associated with kind of the Trump wing of the party. But they've done a very effective job. They're very quiet. They don't hold rallies. They don't really do many news releases a lot of the interviews he does are national press, and they're on foreign policy matters or other legislation that aren't drilling about local issues. And he has a Fitzpatrick name behind him, which is a strong brand in Bucks County. And he has Asha Ejas, who's the Democrat running against him. She's a former U.S. Army Apache attack helicopter pilot. She's come into the district. She's from a little north of the district originally, but she's been out there pounding the pavement, meeting people. Her signs are going up. We'll see on election day with the results, but it doesn't seem like she's gained the traction that's needed to win this district. And she's going up against the congressman with really high name ID.
So I know in Washington, Congressman Fitzpatrick he very proudly talks about co-chairing what they call the Problem Solvers Caucus. He takes very seriously his work on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. How does that translate with kind of man on the street of Levittown or Ben Salem or these places?
Sure. So he wins. So it obviously works. And he doesn't usually win. He doesn't squeak out. He wins, pretty safely. I know a lot of the kind of Trump wing of the Republican Party and the more liberal side of the Democratic Party are always mad at him. And often they have the same complaints. They're mad he doesn't host town halls. They're mad he doesn't host, big events where he's meeting with lots of constituents. A lot of his visits are focused on specific small events where he takes a picture and posts it. And, those people have a lot of the same complaints, which I think is interesting because politically they probably have very different thoughts on a lot of key issues, but they can come together on their dislike of the way the congressman handles things. I know a lot of them will say the Problem Solvers Caucus doesn't actually solve problems. The congressman, from my interviews over the years, would disagree and points to pieces of legislation. Yeah, maybe the original bill proposed by the Problem Solvers doesn't pass, but a piece of it gets worked into another piece of legislation. So he's definitely been very proud, and his brother was proud of being bipartisan on a lot of issues. And Congressman Fitzpatrick, the current one, has not been afraid to vote against his party on certain issues. The Republicans and Democrats that don't agree would say he's only voting on those because he got permission from the party leadership to break. They were kind of safe votes, or his vote would just not make the difference. So I think he's coming to this election strongly because he hasn't been out there much. There's not a lot of negative stuff out there on him this year. And his opponent just has had trouble getting name ID.
So we'll pivot to the local races momentarily. I mean, in the state house, state senate races, but give listeners a sense of, I mean, in these final days, what is, as best you can tell from your vantage point, and it's a strong vantage point, the get out the vote operations.
So I just was talking to Republican and Democratic committee people earlier this week, trying to get a sense, and both sides seem confident that Congressman Fitzpatrick will probably win, but the Democrats are really pushing Ashley Ehas hard and her name. Her campaign has focused almost, you know, largely, at least public facing, on the issue of abortion, and that she's pro-choice. The congressman, the Democrats say, is anti-choice. He would say he's for a limited window of opportunity for abortions to take place. And that's, you know, it's a very nuanced debate, but I think Congressman Fitzpatrick kind of survives on nuanced debate. I've always kind of thought part of that is credited to his career as an FBI agent and an attorney, where nuance is a kind of big focus of those careers. Doesn't always translate into politics, but he's made it work so far, and he's in a moderate county. And like I said, he hasn't done a lot of events and stuff, so he hasn't had as many opportunities to for any negative stories or anything to kind of come out. So he seems to be using it to his advantage.
Are there key townships or precincts that you get that you on election night are going to be watching to see turnout, or that you get the sense that, you know, there's particularly acute interest from Bucks County Democrats or Bucks County Republicans that, you know, in other words, they need to get X out, you know, I don't know,
yeah,
if it's Doylestown or Pipersville or whatever, as it gets more rural in the upper part of the county or the more densely populated. I mean, you know, and then increasingly I'm hearing of, you know, and this happens, I think, fairly regularly, you know, buses of out-of-state volunteers that are coming into the counties. And, you know, if you can get us listeners a sense of where we should be looking, because I think that's why the show's grown so much. People like to get super granular and wonk it out. So,
sure. Definitely the precincts in Bensalem are always very interesting to watch. That's a place that I believe there's a Democratic lean in voter registration, but yet Republicans often win there. They're more moderate Republicans. So I always think that's a good place to watch, the Levittown area, with it being a more moderate area, and definitely the Doylestown area. I've always found covering, this comes back to me from covering 2016 and 2020, in the Levittown area in 2016, I knew Trump was going to win on election day, when the voters, I had so many people I talked to, Republicans and Democrats, saying, I haven't voted in 15 years. I haven't voted in 30 years, but I'm voting because of Donald Trump. That's why I'm here, which I've never heard before. You know, not that I've been doing this decades, but for 12 years, I've never heard people say that. And in 2020, to a lesser extent, but I did hear similar things from Republicans and Democrats. You know, I've never voted Democratic, but I'm voting for Joe Biden because I can't stand Trump. Or you know, people, I haven't voted in 15 years, but I'm voting for Joe Biden because look at what Donald Trump does or says. So I think that really makes this area unique and different in a lot of ways. I'm curious this year, the issue of abortion. I have seen, just on social media alone, I've seen several women, kind of the under 50 demographic, who often are posting conservative political things. One had an image of Donald Trump banner as her profile picture, and she was railing against Republicans on the abortion decision, thinking that saying that women should be able to make that decision themselves. So I'm curious how much of a factor that comes into. The Democrats are obviously hoping that's a major factor this election. Ashley Ehas has really staked her campaign on it, and a lot of the local races has. Mark Moffitt, who's running for state representative against a pretty moderate Republican, has signs up saying he's pro-choice, and he's in Lower Bucks County. So there's definitely a lot of focus on it. I'm curious how much of an impact it has. To be honest, I've been surprised at the reaction I've seen so far.
Well, let's plunge a little deeper. You just mentioned one state house race. We might as well start there. Just providing context for our non-Pennsylvania listeners, there's 203 state house members. The Republicans have a majority, but Democrats are fairly confident that they're going to chip away at that majority, if not actually win the majority. And in a lot of regards, Bucks County is ground zero with some of these hot races. And a state house seat has less than 70,000 constituents, so it's pretty granular door-to-door campaigning, I would imagine. So shall we start with the race you just mentioned and then work through some others?
Sure. So Mark Maffa and Joe Hogan, they are running against each other in Lower Bucks County, a large Middletown township, which is years ago, as a Republican strategist always told me, was the purplest township in the purplest county in the purplest state. So that's always one to watch. And he's running against Joe Hogan, who's a more moderate Republican. This is his first foray running for office. He's previously worked for former Congressman Mike Fitzpatrick. And Mark Maffa is a Democrat. He has run for mayor in Pendel. He lost, but he was a former councilman there. He has framed himself as a pro-choice candidate, and pretty strongly, both candidates, from what I've heard from people in the neighborhoods, they have both been out knocking doors. The district is currently held by State Representative Frank Ferry, a pretty moderate Republican who is running for state Senate. And Frank Ferry, I have always said covering politics, is probably the most prolific door knocker I've ever covered. I've talked to him before just in passing, and he takes notes on every door he knocks, and in the primary and in the general, and he remembers what the bumper stickers are. He makes little notes, and he's very prolific. So I think that if Joe Hogan can carry that over, that gives him a very good chance, because Frank Ferry always had a good reputation as a fire chief. Republicans and Democrats generally liked him and have liked him. So if Joe Hogan do that, that gives him a good chance. But that will be an interesting race. Mark Moffitt definitely has focused on pro-choice as really the bedrock of his campaign.
That is interesting when you have, if I'm hearing you correctly, two male candidates, and these issues around choice or life issues are dominating the race. Okay, tell us more. I just think that what's happening across the Commonwealth with these state house races deserves, frankly, its own podcast. It's just so fascinating. And my hat really goes off. I mean, it's 40-some degrees outside as we're recording this. So as candidates and their volunteers are knocking doors, this is what politics is all about in America. So,
yeah. So I can just say, yes, today there was frost in my car windshield. I wasn't a fan of that this early. But I've definitely seen the volunteers on my way home from work from both sides. I've actually seen one or two I know going door to door throughout Bucks County. And I think Bucks County, because it is a little more moderate, does like that hands-on feel. Bucks County, more at least from people who have worked in national campaigns, have always told me Bucks County politicos love signs. There was a former staffer on a congressional campaign who said he always heard that rumor, and he got here and he couldn't believe how obsessed with signs people were. I don't know if it's a good indicator, but I think something that's been interesting is how many signs have gone up in the state rep races, more than I usually recall ever seeing. And also, just to kind of give some framing for how Bucks County sits for the governor's race, Josh Shapiro and Doug Mastriano, and in the Senate race, Oz and Fetterman. I see a lot of Fetterman, a lot of Oz signs. I don't see as many Mastriano signs, but I see a lot of Shapiro signs. And someone was just telling me yesterday that they saw a house that has a Fetterman sign and Fetterman sign, and then they have a Mastriano sign, which is kind of unique. So you kind of have, Bucks County is unique that way. You have those really interesting, strange bedfellows in politics and people with those moderate views. So that, I think, kind of gives some framing for it. But there's some...
Listeners might recall we had a conversation about the Matt Cartwright-Jim Bognett race up in Northeast PA. And you had similar anecdotes of a Matt Cartwright sign, but then a Dr. Oz sign in the same front yard. Do you get the sense when these state house candidates are going around, as a Democrat or as a Republican, are they handing out material that has the Fitzpatrick name, the Mastriano name, the Oz name on it? You know, is it a coordinated effort through the county party or the state party, or is it every man or woman for himself or herself?
Sure. So in the state house and Senate races, we have lovely readers, and I've gotten a few over the years who forward me usually once a week all their political mail. So I think I've gotten, at least for the Levittown area, for those three state Senate or state House races and the two state Senate races, a good idea. It seems like a lot of the mailers are coming through the state parties, but there's not a lot tying on either side them to, you know, the Democrats aren't having them with pictures of Joe Biden, or the Republicans aren't mentioning Mastriano. The Democrats are mentioning Mastriano, trying to tie the Republican candidates to him. But it's been a very focused, I think, local race, and tons of them on abortion and the economy. Republicans focusing, you know, often saying their opponents are you know, not doing great and look at the economy. And Democrats saying, look at the Republicans. Republicans support, you know, removing the right, woman's right to choose. So you're seeing a lot of those.
Let's take a look at some of these other state house races as we wind down. You've been really generous with your time, as there's so many stories to report in these final few days of the campaign. All right, so we did the Moffa race. What other ones are super purple?
Yeah, so outside of my coverage area, but in Bucks County, and one that everyone's been talking about, especially in political circles, the 144th representative district, that is in central Bucks, and that district's changed. Megan Schroeder framed herself as a more moderate Republican. She currently is there. She's won that district that was previously held by a Republican. The shape of that district has changed, and it's still a purple district, but it's Brian Monroe, who's a county row officer, presently a Democrat, and Todd Polinchek, who's a current Republican state representative. He's with the district changing. It's a new area for him, and it's been a really Warminster Township seems to be where this race is really being fought out. Brian Monroe is a Warminster resident. Todd Polinchek is kind of a new name there. People weren't super familiar. They're both military veterans. It's kind of gotten ugly. I was just talking to someone who lives there. They've had several door knockers from both sides. They're the couple there that's a split. One's a Republican, one's a Democrat. So they get both sides. But there's a lot of signs for both of them. To be honest, probably the most of any state house race I've ever seen. And they're everywhere. They're even not in the district. They're in kind of the towns that surround, if you're within a mile or so of the border, which I think always shows how kind of ugly this race is. They're trying to get every last vote. So that's definitely one to watch to see what happens there.
I think it also shows how well-funded. I mean, there's just unprecedented levels of money pouring into Pennsylvania state house campaigns, because folks even outside of Pennsylvania realize what's on the line.
Yeah, Todd Polinchek's district previously, the district previously for him was a little more red. So this district's a little more moderate. So the Democrats are kind of hitting him on more conservative votes and takes he's had in the past. So that's definitely something that may be a negative for him. But we'll see. It's one everyone's talking about, that's for sure.
Give us one other, which sure. Might also be outside of your immediate coverage area, but still in the county.
Sure. So the House of Representatives, District 29, that is Tim Brennan and I believe Diane Smith. Diane Smith is his Republican opponent. That's definitely an interesting race because that includes Doylestown Borough and also kind of a little bit more rural towards Solbury and New Hope. So that's an interesting race to watch to see what happened. And I actually misspoke. Megan Schroeder previously represented Warminster, which is now Brian Monroe and Todd Polinchek running there. But her district, she's not running again, has shifted to now the district where Tim Brennan and Diane Smith are. And that doesn't cover Warminster anymore, but it's moved closer to the river. It's going to be an interesting race to watch. I know there's signs up everywhere for that. Tim Brennan seems to have, at least from my travels up to the county seat of Doylestown, in, I guess, more liberal Doylestown Borough, there's a lot of signs, but it's definitely going to be an interesting one to watch. Choice has become kind of a big factor for Tim Brennan's campaign and what he's focused on.
Good stuff. Let me just ask you, I mean, to give a preview, because we shouldn't lose sight. And I mean, you're going to want to catch your breath after November 8th, but there's going to be races to watch in county government next year. And it is interesting, as we're talking about how purple the county is, if we could maybe end looking back. You mentioned earlier a row officer. Just, you know, give a sense of elected officials at the municipal and county level.
Sure.
My understanding, there's been some major changes in the last decade there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Bucks County was a Republican kind of controlled county at the county row office and commissioner.
Like 100%.
Right? Yeah. 100%. And, you know, the a lot of those row officers were getting older around the time of the Trump presidency. But during the Trump presidency, pretty much all those row offices, except for the district attorney, became democratically held. The commissioners became a Democratic majority, first time in decades. And they've had trouble hanging on. Republicans came in last year and they took several of the seats back. We'll see what next year holds. The commissioners are up for election next year. Bob Harvey, the chairman, I've covered him for 10 years now. He's a former Falls Township supervisor, retired teacher. He, it appears, has political aspirations possibly beyond the commissioners. He's very articulate. He's a smart guy. He kind of has a shadow in Falls Township where he was previously. There's this ongoing large federal investigation. He's testified before a grand jury, which indicates he's not the target of that investigation. But if indictments ever come out or more information, that could be a liability for him. But he has not made too many enemies on the Republican side either. Privately, I've had several Republicans say they like him. They think he's a smart guy. Some of them have kind of thought maybe he'll run for Congress in the future. So we'll see what happens there. But that's going to be an interesting one to watch. Gene DiGirolamo, he's a Bensalem Republican who's the lone Republican commissioner. He is a more moderate guy. He's taken flack from his party for largely voting and agreeing with the Democrats on most things. As long as I've covered them, whether Republican or Democratic majority, the Bucks County commissioners have always had a reputation for generally being agreeable and a more moderate group. They haven't seen as much partisanship as other counties. The public comment has kind of gotten interesting at those meetings where it was really no one ever spoke, as long as I covered it at least. Two, you kind of have more culture war issues, often things the commissioners don't really even oversee. So that will be kind of interesting.
Tom, I said the last question, but you have me curious now. So thank you again for covering county government and getting that nuanced in your coverage, as we're just unfortunately not seeing that as much nowadays across Pennsylvania. If I'm hearing you correctly, attendance by just Joe Q public at county commissioner meetings has gone up, which arguably is a good thing. But is there a lot of kind of election denial, demanding hand counts of ballots, conspiratorial theories about electronic tabulation, these things happening at any given commissioner's meeting? Because I'm hearing this,
sure,
as our listeners hearing this, across all 67 counties.
Sure. Yeah. To be honest, so before the current Democratic majority, the county commissioners' meetings were only available. They were MP3s on the county website. They started doing video in 2020, which was great with COVID. Since that time, maybe some people are being performative, but you've definitely seen more people come. People demand paper ballots, which Bucks County already has, and people are demanding recounts, talking about kind of conspiratorial issues of they're going to pull the bonds on the row officers and similar things, talk of them mishandling election stuff. But largely, publicly and privately, the Republican and Democratic leadership, the commissioners, all three of them, have praised Bucks County's efforts and the great job they've done, like the Board of Election staff, the great job they've done. So it's been kind of interesting. I mean, the Republican and Democratic party chairs for the county, following the 2020 election, put out a joint letter saying that Bucks County's elections were fair and they did a great job and thanked everyone in such trying times. But that hasn't stopped a lot of some of the committee people from leaning into that, kind of that Doug Mastriano type of brand of, if we don't win, something must be wrong.
Okay. I have many, many more questions, but you have many miles ahead on the back roads of Bucks County. So thank you again for your time and looking forward to talking further as we unpackage just really, as I said at the beginning, the fascinating dynamics in the county.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Always good to talk local politics.
You bet. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Pennsylvania Kitchen Table Politics. Take a minute and leave us a rating and review on your podcast platform. Please also consider following us on social media for updates and announcements regarding future episodes and new guests. You're political, so I am sure that you're on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. We are too, at PA Political Podcast. Visit our website, papoliticalpodcast.org, and send us your feedback about this episode and suggestions on future guests. Until next week.